Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
The religious leaders are so religious that they missed God. Can any of you testify to the fact that you were raised religious and you missed God? Raise your hands nice and high. Look at that. You were raised religious and you missed God. Right? You're like, how did that happen? Jesus adds, these works are from my Father, okay? But here's the thing, man-made religion misses that.
If you've ever walked into a church and felt intimidated and questioned if you could ever fit in, you're not alone. Even many believers who have been in the church their entire lives still feel that way at times. We assume everyone else has it figured out and is living a perfect life. And if they knew what we had going on, they'd never accept us. As Pastor Jim continues our study in the book of John today, we'll be reminded that all of us are broken, and the church is a place of restoration, not judgment. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he begins his message, The Consequences of a Hard Heart.
Well, today we end this long section of the Gospel of John in a series that we have entitled Jesus' Conflict with the Religious Establishment, as he has been really butting heads with them. The Apostle John ends this section with Jesus being surrounded by an angry crowd led by the religious leaders. They want to kill Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, who has done all kinds of incredible miracles. Why would they want to kill Jesus, you might ask? Because the religious leaders say Jesus claimed to be God, and Jesus does not disagree. He doesn't disagree with them. But he reveals a truth about the religious leaders, and we've entitled today's message, The Consequences of a Hard Heart. A lot of people's hearts are so hard that they cannot even see what is right in front of them. Now, to be fair, I think Jesus last week gave them some ammunition, not lying to them. He said in verse 28, no one can snatch a follower of Jesus out of his hands. So if you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus says this, no one can snatch you out of my hand. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to welcome you here today. You are welcome here. I remember when I went to a church like this, I was not a follower of Jesus. I was listening to them talk, and I'm like, some of it I understood, some of it I didn't, so I'll try to speak as plainly as I can, but you are welcome here, and I hope and pray that you will keep coming back, and you keep coming back, and you keep coming back, and the more you learn. So Jesus said, nobody can snatch them out of my hand, and then verse 29, more ammunition, Jesus said, no one can snatch them out of God the Father's hands. So not only are you in Jesus' hands if you're a follower of Jesus, you're also in God the Father's hands. And then in chapter 10, verse 30, which is the last verse we did last week, Jesus drops the bomb. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. So you think they would say, oh, hey, Jesus, that's cool, man. That's great. Well, let's look at verse 31, where we read it last week, but we pick up this week. Verse 31, we read, then the Jews took up stones or rocks again to stone him. So what do they say? Let's kill him. Let's kill him. In John chapter 5, verse 18, they sought to kill Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 59, which we saw last week, they picked up stones to kill him. And this week, they do it again. Jesus claimed to be sent from God. Jesus claimed to have a unique relationship with God. And they knew that this guy they knew as Jesus of Nazareth, they knew that Jesus claimed to be God. So what did Jesus do? He did the same thing he does for all of us. He gives us one of two choices. That's it. Only one of two. Either he is God become a man or he is not. And today, every one of you will leave this place having made that choice. That's the choice we will all have made, whether we want to believe it or not. In the case of some, it produces faith and trust. You put your faith in Jesus, you put your trust in him. Yet for others, it produces conflict. Others, it produces hostility. I think in American culture, for a lot of people, it just produces indifference. A lot of people are indifferent to what Jesus says. So we come to verse 32. Jesus is absolutely fearless. I mean, come on now. A group of people pick up a bunch of rocks and they want to stone you. What would you do? Guys, got another engagement. Gotta go. But Jesus doesn't do that. He didn't do that at all. I'm going to read verse 32 twice. Jesus answered them, many good works. Now, that idea of good works, we think of good. It's just a kind of a general word for us. The word actually has to deal with, okay, being praiseworthy and morally excellent, okay? He's saying, so I'm doing these great things for people, okay? I've shown you them from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Okay? Jesus is quick to answer them, okay? I'm doing good things. Why do you want to stone me? And Jesus' works, what did they do? They showed the power and mercy of God. But notice what Jesus does, and if you're not reading the Gospels carefully, you miss it, right? Okay? When Jesus talks to people, he generally poses a question to people. For which of these good works? Now, let me give you a real help in reading the Gospels. When Jesus is talking and it ends in the question mark, stop and answer the question. As if Jesus is talking to you, because he is when you're reading your Bible. Okay? Stop, answer the question to Jesus. So Jesus, we might say in Jesus' language, in our language anyway, why do you want to kill me? I mean, why do you want to kill me? Yet, and this is the truth that many of us can attest to, okay, like many people, the religious leaders are so religious that they missed God. Can any of you testify to the fact that you were raised religious and you missed God? Raise your hands nice and high. Look at that. You were raised religious and you missed God, right? You're like, how did that happen? Jesus adds, these works are from my Father, okay? But here's the thing. Man-made religion misses that. Or if you want to just kind of tune yourself out or make it all about you, you're going to miss that. The reality of Jesus Christ is this. Jesus backed up his words with great claims and with divine deeds. He did stuff that nobody else could do. You see, there's miracles in other parts of the Bible, but the quantity of them and the variety of them that Jesus did is amazing. Jesus cured people with leprosy. I mean, now we deal with it, right? But back then, we had nothing for that. The lepers would have to tell the people they're coming down the street so everybody could run away. Jesus walks up to people, oh, you're a leper? Clear. You're good. Go tell the priest, right? That's it. You're done. Blind people, right? Some of you are wearing glasses. You have to go to the doctor to make your eyesight better, right? Okay? I wear them when I'm at my computer all day, right? But what does Jesus do? Oh, you can't see? You can see now. You can't see? You can see now. Go rub some mud on your eye, wash it. You're good. You're good. You can do that. He did it. There was all kinds of people with all kinds of sickness. They come to Jesus. And what does he say? You're healed. You're good. Don't worry about it. In the next chapter, he's going to raise a guy from the dead. Not something that happens every day, is it? Maybe in a hospital with equipment and stuff like that nowadays, right? But Jesus just walks up and goes, come on, get up. You're not dead anymore. And all kinds of other things. He did so many different things. But the thing about Jesus' miracles, and it's important to see this, it reveals the heart and the kindness of God. When you watch those miracles, you have to realize how kind God is, because a lot of those people didn't even believe in Jesus. But it also shows us the power, the wisdom, the love, and the grace of God. When we watch Jesus' miracles, see, sometimes we read about the miracles, we go, oh, yeah, he did another miracle. He did another miracle. When you read that, in addition to being standing, are you standing in awe of what he does? And are you also saying, what is this telling me about God? What is this telling me about him? They were good because they gave life and protection to those in need. And Jesus asks a simple question. Okay, please, why do you want to kill me? Why do you want to stone me? Yet the religious leaders and many people will not consider the claims of Jesus' divinity. You know why that is? Because for some people, there's just not enough evidence. They don't care. They are spiritually blind, right? And they're like, we don't care. We don't care how many things you did, Jesus. We don't like you, right? You're making us look bad. The religious leaders, making the religious leaders look bad. We don't like you. You're out of here. Now, verse 33, okay, the religious leaders are quick to answer. The Jews, remember that term, the Jews usually has to deal with the religious leaders. The Jews answered him saying, for a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself, some verses say, claim to be God. They're like, that's why we're doing it. When Jesus directed them to his works, okay, and their evidence, right, he said, listen, the reason I can do this is quite simple. It's verse 30 again. I and my Father are one. Now, we hear that and we think, well, nobody does stuff like this guy. But yet, these religious leaders see this and they say, you are a mere man claiming to be God. So what are they doing now? Now they are making a public charge against Jesus. It's each time they talk to him and they get mad at him, it gets a little bit more serious. And now it's getting really serious. Now they're like, no, this is enough. You've pushed it to the limit. We can't take this anymore. And Jesus confronts everybody once again with this claim. Is he God? Or is he a blasphemer? Okay? Is he lying to us? Is he a complete nut job? Or is he God, the second person of the Trinity, adding humanity and coming to earth? He doesn't stop being God. Truly God, and he adds being truly man. Now, this is a critical turning point in this gospel, okay? The religious leaders now, they've had it up to here. They're done with him. They don't want to hear any more about him, okay? And for Jesus' destiny and the eternal destiny for the readers of this gospel as well. This is important for all of us to understand what is going on here. Now, you say, well, why would they want to kill him? Okay, well, we go back to the law of Moses. Way long time ago, Leviticus 24:16 says this, and whoever blasphemes, that could even simply mean disrespects God, the name of the Lord shall surely be, or that person must be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him, who is born in the land, okay, so whether he's from out of town or he's one of us, when he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Now, many of you know that at this time, the land of Israel was under Roman occupation. And the Jews were not allowed to kill someone. That's why they have their own trial, as we will see as we go further along in this gospel. And then they have to bring him to Pontius Pilate, the Romans, to put him to death. However, there were times on occasion when there were mob killings, when there would be a bunch of people who would just take a bunch of rocks and whatever, and they would kill people. Now you would say, I bet the Romans were really upset about that. If they were the Jews, not at all. One less thing for them to do, right? They hated the Jews. They hated them. And that was like, if you want to be punished by the Roman Empire, that's where they would assign you. Okay? And you know what the Jews really represented to Caesar? They were a pebble in his sandals. They were just terrible. They hated him. Yet, We are seeing with these religious leaders how worthless man-made religion is, which some people think impresses God. Like some people go like, well, I'm very impressed. God really, he really loves me and all the things I do for him. They're so wonderful and stuff like that. Really? Really? Is there anything you've ever done for God that compares to what Jesus did? No. That's like having a 7-foot NBA player play against a 5-year-old. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, what did they miss? And this is really important that we understand, what did they miss? Not that Jesus was a man who said he was God. They missed that God became a man. That's what they truly missed. You know, and here's the interesting about Jesus. Jesus knows the cross is coming. He knows they want to kill him with stones. All he had to do was say this. You know, guys, I think you really misunderstood me. I think you really misunderstood me. Now, wouldn't that be a temptation for all of us? That's not really what I meant. You know, I think you're taking me the wrong way. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. He doesn't deny what they say. In fact, he agrees with them. He agrees with them. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I am God standing in your midst. That's who I am. So here's, just imagine this for a second. The creator of the universe stands in front of his creation. And his job is to make God known in the world. And what do they want to do? They want to kill him. They want to kill him. See, this is what we have to understand about Jesus, okay? Jesus' works are the works of God. They're the works of God, okay? Jesus' words are the words of God. The Son of God was sent to bring light and eternal life to the world. He is the messenger. Jesus claimed to be God. He made all his works, okay? That meant all his works meant nothing to the religious leaders. Now, here's the thing. You see a guy doing all this stuff, and it's the same thing we have today. There's really, for the most part, there's one of two reactions. You either worship him or you want to kill him. You say, oh, I never would want to kill God. Ooh, how do you feel when everybody tells you about him? Right? You're like, oh, don't tell me about him. I remember being in college and after that and stuff like that, people telling me about God. I'm like, oh, please stop. Stop. God, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear all that stuff. Verse 34 to 36. Now, these are not easy verses for us to understand. They would have totally understood them. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? We'll come back to that sentence in a minute. Interesting term, your law. I said, you are gods. Now, first off, he said, I said. Well, this is Psalm 82. You know who's talking? God. So he says, I said. So who is he saying he is? He's God. People say, oh, God, he never said he was God. All over the place, if you know their language, okay? God did say that. What do you mean? Verse 35, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, listen to this, and the scripture cannot be broken. Verse 36, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified or set apart and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. So Jesus is quoting Psalm 82 for you note takers, okay? And he says, and he, God, called them gods. Now, this is where the Bible geeks go crazy, right? They debate all these things. So there's basically three groups that they talk about. There's more, but the basic three groups are this. Is he talking about the angels? I don't think so. You may. That's great. You want to send me an email? My email is john@ccmarshills.org. See, he'll pay for not being around when I needed him. Okay? Some people think I'm serious. Actually, I am. Some people think it's the people of God. Could be. Could be. Other people think it's the leader of Israel. That gets my vote on it. We will come back to that. Notice in verse 34, Jesus says, in your law. Now, it could mean it's your law, but it could also mean, okay, you know, maybe you're misunderstanding it. Maybe you misinterpreted it, okay? I'm not sure, but they are correct. You make yourself out to be God, okay? But that doesn't mean it's a competing God. That doesn't mean it's a competing God. Also, I think they're saying, Jesus is saying, you missed how he fulfills scripture. We'll get to that in a second. If you want to get a book, okay, the Commentary on the New Testament Use of the Old Testament by Beale and Carson. Just so you know, okay, I want to tell you a couple things about that book. You're writing it down right now, okay? It's a very thick book. It's about this thick, okay? It's not an easy read. It'll cost you $56 on Amazon, okay? And all it will tell you is you have been warned, okay? Because that is not an easy book, right? It is just, it's good if you like that stuff, but it's not an easy book, all right? You'll be like, oh, he's quoting the Old Testament. You're doing your quiet time. Don't use it in your quiet time, right? Because it will end it, right? Because you'll be like, I'm so confused. What are they doing? So notice here in verse 35, what does Jesus do? He upholds the Old Testament. There is no New Testament at this time. Technically, it's being written as Jesus is going along, but there's no New Testament at this time. And sadly, the American church avoids the Old Testament. Many of them do. Or what it does now is a new trend is we're studying the Old Testament, but we're twisting it to make sure that to tell people it's about us. Okay? All right. Can I just tell you something? I don't mean to burst your bubble. The Bible is not about you. Everybody got that? The Bible is not about you. Now, a lot of the Proverbs are about you, but that will just carve you up. Okay? All right. So let me give you an example. Some of you, it's not on the radio yet. I can't wait for all the emails I get from people. But you remember the story of David and Goliath? Okay, well now most people will say when they preach the story of David and Goliath, kill the giants in your life. How many of you want to kill the giants in your life? I don't. I think if it's 1,000 years before Jesus, it is Goliath represents sin and death, and David represents the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and he will defeat sin and death. You say, well, where are we in the story? We're the brothers going, we're terrified, right? I feel a lot more comfortable with that. You might not, okay? But I tell you what, there's a lot of giants that appear in my life I can't kill. But you know what? My King, my Lord, my Savior, he can. And that's the one I want to trust. I don't want to trust anybody else, but I want to trust him. So now that I've made some enemies. Anyway, Jesus seems to be making a point. You can't pick and choose what you want from the word of God. Earlier in Psalm 82, God says he will judge the leaders. Why would he judge the leaders? Because they led the people unjustly and they favored the wicked. Listen, these guys who were leading God's people, they were making tons of bank. So many of them, in Jesus' day, they were making so much money. And Jesus was going to ruin their income. They don't like that at all. Psalm 82 tells us they failed the people. They failed God himself. And they represented God poorly. And their fate is death.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ, and we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. you may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.